Matt started us off last week with our new series. The new series is called Ancient Words for a Living Faith. These are verses of Scripture or passages that you all have chosen. Two summers ago, we did favorite passages of the pastors. Last year, we did favorite passages of elders and other leaders in the church. And over this last year, we gathered favorite verses from you, from the congregation. And today, I love this verse. It's just one verse. It's worth memorizing if you haven't. Philippians 4:13. I'm going to give you a moment to find that in your Bible. For those of you who memorized it, you get to relax. Take your smartphone or your iPad or your Bible in front of you. If you turn to Philippians, which is really a letter of encouragement, and it is encouraging. To encourage means to be lifted up or strengthened from within. To have another person do that for you is one of the great gifts of the Christian faith, because we actually get to share our faith, to give our love, to share our insights, and share our lives with one another in such a way that other people actually receive from us. Philippians 4:13. Everybody there? Okay, we're just going to, this can go past you real fast, so we're going to slow it down a little bit. I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. Let's say that together. I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. There, you memorized it. That wasn't so hard, was it? Let's pray. Let your good news come now, O Father, not only in word and in truth, but with power and with full assurance through your Holy Spirit. For we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Jim Christian picked this verse. It couldn't be more appropriate for any other person I know, because Jim is 102 years young as of yesterday. And he makes it to church almost every Sunday. Talk about strength. Plus, Jim has seen a thing or two through those 102 years. He was born during World War I. He went through the Depression. He volunteered for World War II. And he's seen and experienced everything since. And may I just say, and Jim, I don't mean to embarrass you, but may I just say that Jim Christian may be the strongest man in this congregation. Amen? The reason for this is because Jim knows his need for strength. Do we know our need for strength? What is strength, after all? Is it the same as power or dynamism? Actually, not quite. This is a different word than the one for power in this verse. This is a particular word that has to do with internal strength, or something that is what you could call sturdy. It can hold up under the weight of things and holds up under pressure. Strength. Power has the ability to move things. Strength is about standing firm when things get moved. Sometimes I think that those of us who are a bit younger or who haven't had physical challenges to our health assume that the strength we have now will always be with us, and that this strength comes from us. But the strongest people I've ever known have been sure of something else. They have been sure of this. Human strength is truly limited. And true strength doesn't come from us. It comes from God. Jesus is the source of all true strength, the kind we need and the kind that we don't have in ourselves. As the Apostle Paul learned and wrote about, the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ is made perfect in our weakness, not in our self-derived prowess. We're pretty sure that Jesus, for example, was physically strong because of what he did for a living as a carpenter. He would have had to go cut down his own wood. He didn't go to a lumber yard and buy it. He had to cut it down, saw the boards, shape them, and then build houses with it, which would usually have included quite a bit of masonry work as well. Jesus was physically strong. But even more, he was strong in that he stood up, he bore up, he handled the weight of the world throughout his whole life on earth. He didn't crumble under this. He didn't cave into his fears or shrink from his duty to save everybody. He stood up against temptation, criticism, injustice. He bore sin and human weakness. He never failed to do what he came to do. He never failed to do the Father's will. All of this takes strength. Strength of will, strength of purpose, strength of character, strength of emotions. It takes endurance. It takes the strength of joy. All of this exceeds the imagination. What Jesus actually accomplished through his own strength. And in this, he was fully dependent every day of his life on the strength of the Holy Spirit. So when Jesus died and resurrected, that strength became strength that is, in fact, available to every person who binds themselves to Jesus Christ through faith. His strength becomes our strength. Here's the way it is. We need strength to follow Christ day by day, and we don't have it in ourselves. But the good news is, Jesus' strength is inexhaustible, and the Spirit gives it to us as we need. So never assume that you have the strength that you need for anything in life. You don't. I don't. But Jesus does. Ask God for what you need. This verse promises that God will give you the strength for what you need. And there's another point in this verse that is, in fact, very important, in my opinion. It says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What does this mean, all things? Does it mean that we have the strength to run 200 miles without stopping? No. Does it mean we have the strength to flap our arms and fly? Obviously not. This verse does not say that we have the strength to do everything. But it does say we will be given strength to do all things that come our way in life. Whatever we encounter, Jesus will give us his strength. And today I want to point out the various types or kinds of strength that I think all of this refers to. I'm just going to go through these quickly. First of all, there is tensile strength. Tensile strength is the strength of flexibility. It is what happens to steel when it is designed to absorb a shock and not shatter in the process. Jesus' tensile strength will give you what you need to absorb the shocks that do come in life and not shatter to pieces in the process. So many times I've seen this with God's people. They're facing something they know is hard or they know is going to be hard, like chemo treatments or terminal illness or surgeries or loss, and they say, I don't know how I'm going to do it. But then as they walk in Christ, the strength shows up. And they are able to handle what comes their way. Tensile strength. And then there's structural strength. Structural strength is the kind that gives an internal ability to hold things up, like structural steel. My high school track coach called this intestinal fortitude. This is a strength from within that holds a person's life up and enables them even to hold the lives of others up. And then there's endurance. This is a type of strength we don't often consider as strong. A strong distance runner, for example, is one with good endurance. They can keep going. They can keep going. And then when they're tired, they go further and keep going. They endure. Jesus will give you exactly what you need to endure things. And then there's moral strength. This is less valued today, isn't it? Moral strength means the ability to stand for what is just and what is true and what is good and what is right. And I pray for all of us that we will grow strong morally in goodness, in doing the right thing, even when we might have to suffer for it. It's the easiest thing in the world to shrink from doing good or to stand tall for doing the right thing, to pass by a moral wrong that's in process by somebody else who's doing something wrong. I mean, I don't mean that we should interfere in the world's life, but You know what I mean. When someone's really doing something and you see it and you pass by, let somebody else deal with it. Jesus never did that. He stood strong when others quailed morally. That is moral strength, and it doesn't come from within us. It comes from Jesus. And then there's spiritual strength. To be strong in the Spirit means to walk in the Spirit, pray in the Spirit, to feed yourself through God's Word and in prayer and worship and service through the strength of the Spirit, so that no matter how much your physical state might weaken, your spirit, united with Christ by the Holy Spirit, will be strong. I've known people who were physically down almost to nothing from disease or hardships, but whose spirit was strong in Christ, whose faith and love had not faltered, whose hope was still strong. They were spiritually strong. In all of these, we can do all things in Jesus Christ, who is our strength. We can't do everything, but we can do all the things God wants us to as long as we walk in Christ. Most of you know the story of Eric Little, the British and Presbyterian Olympic champion in 1924. I know that was a long time ago. Jim was 7. Out of his spiritual and moral and tensile and structural and emotional strength, refused to run the 100-meter dash at the 1924 Olympics because to do so would have violated his conscience before God. The 100-meter event was scheduled for a Sunday, and he would not violate the Sabbath. So the coaches placed him in the 400-meter run instead. There's only one problem. He had not trained for the 400. He had trained for the 100, and they are completely different races calling for completely different training regimens. This is an actual photo of him at the 1924 Olympics when he was placed on the very outside lane, the worst lane to run in the 400, and he won. He won gold. This is a photograph of him as he made the final turn. It's a very famous race. How did he do this? He did it through the strength that came from within him, he said, from Christ. You can watch the story in the movie Chariots of Fire, which I highly recommend. It's still very timely. But you probably don't know the rest of the story. Eric eventually went to China as a missionary teacher. When World War II broke out, he, along with his fellow missionaries and their students, many of whom were teenagers, were put in a prison camp for the rest of the war. The privations were as real as anyone else's. This is a photograph of the Weizhan prison camp for these people. And this is when Eric's true strength came out. Eric Liddell became a leader and an organizer and a servant at the camp, but food, medicine, and other supplies were completely scarce. But here's an example of his strength. When some rich businessmen managed to smuggle in some eggs, Liddell found out about it and persuaded them by confronting them with his moral strength into sharing them with those who were weaker. And disappointingly, while fellow missionaries formed cliques and began to act very selfishly, Liddell did the opposite. He busied himself by helping the elderly, teaching Bible classes at the camp school, arranging games for the teenagers and the children, teaching science. And all of the kids began to refer to him. Every child in camp referred to him as Uncle Eric. Here's an example of his flexibility in his strength. One Sunday on the Sabbath, Eric refereed a field hockey match. Previously, the same field hockey match had turned into a horrible and violent fight because he wasn't there to referee it. So he called for a game on Sunday to make a point. He sponsored the rematch amongst the same players as a way to help them reconcile with one another because he was trusted not to take sides. and they played the game of their lives that day. One of his fellow internees, a man named Norman Cliff, described Liddell as the finest Christian gentleman it has ever been my pleasure to meet in all the time in the camp. Listen to this. In all the time in the camp, I never heard him say a bad word about anybody. Langdon Gilkey, who also survived the camp as a teenager and became a prominent theologian, said of Eric Liddell, "Often in an evening I would see him bent over a chessboard or a model boat or directing some sort of square dance for the teenagers, absorbed, weary, and interested, pouring all of himself into this effort to capture the imagination of these penned-up youths. He was overflowing," Gilkey went on, "with good humor and love for life, with enthusiasm and charm. It was rare indeed that a person has the good fortune to meet a saint, but he came as close to it as anyone I have ever known." And sadly, in February of 1945, just 5 months before liberation, Eric died. Overwork and malnourishment had contributed to physical weakness from an inoperable brain tumor. And his last words were, "It's complete surrender." But it wasn't about surrender to death. He was talking about his life as a complete surrender to God. I want to give you a minute just to read this quote. Though physically weak in the end, nonetheless, he was strong. How? He was strong in Christ. He was strong in the strength of Christ. Where is the source of your strength? Do you look to a workout schedule to supply it? Do you wear out morally, spiritually, relationally? Or do you look to yourself for strength that won't last? Come to Christ and live in him, through him, by his strength. He will give it to you the way he gave it to Eric Liddell, the way he gives it to all of us for all things, and the way Jesus has given it to our brother in Christ, Jim Christian. Let's say it together. I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. And now let's sing happy birthday to Jim.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Jim. Happy birthday to you.
Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we admire your strength and we reverence you for giving it to us through your Spirit who makes you alive in us and in our midst. Strengthen us, Lord Jesus, for the week ahead. In your name we pray. Amen.